Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Savannah Hartman, and she's written a book called Fierce Hope. And I've actually never heard the word fierce put with the word hope, but this is going to be a great show. She is known for spoken word poetry, so we're going to have a taste of that in a minute. She came to be from social media. She posted on Facebook and YouTube, and then they went viral. So it's kind of cool to have someone that has had that experience. She recently appeared on various national news outlets, including CNN, Washington Post, Huntington Post, CBS News, and National Public Radio, among others. And of course, she's here on our show. How cool is that? Savannah and her husband, Matt, co-pastor Banner Church. It's a growing church plant in the heart of downtown Tampa, Florida. They also serve other church plants through their own small marketing and apparel business. That's interesting. Savannah and Matt have been married for 7 years, well, eight now, and have two young sons. Welcome, Savannah, to our show. Is it fine if I just call you Savannah?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So, Savannah, just show us a little bit of what spoken poetry or spoken word poetry looks like.
All right. Well, I'm going to do part of the one that's in the book so that the book is based around. Look outside of yourself, and what do you see? A world that is shaken, taken out at the knees. We all stand waiting, breath hitched in our throat, for a bomb in a subway, a plane, or a boat. What's coming next? Who will die? Can it stop? Living in fear for the next shoe to drop. Will it be race wars or terrorists or poison? Will it be accidental or of our own choices? A tornado, tsunami, or fire could do it. What catastrophe will happen? And will we get through it? Stereotypes rule us. They steer our decisions. We cut each other down with a surgeon's precision. He's white, so he's racist. He's black and entitled. He's a terrorist Muslim. He's a judge with the Bible. Prayers are just platitudes. They no longer hold weight. Religions once known for love, now spewing judgment and hate. And if you want to hear the rest, you got to read the book.
Oh, that's a great cliffhanger, isn't it? So you just recited some of this poetry and it went viral. It just set the stage. Tell us the story about that.
All right. So spoken word poetry is just something that I've always done in my free time. In my downtime, I like to rhyme. I like to put my thoughts to words. They kind of solidify the things that Christ shares with me in my soul. So I never wrote that intending for anyone to hear it. It was something that I was kind of going through a crisis of faith in my life and really seeking God for some answers and some revelation. And so as he would speak to me and share me, I would put it in the spoken word. And so one day I was out at the lake where we live and I was doing my quiet time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to read this on a Facebook video. And I had never done a Facebook video before. And so I did. And it ended up being a tremendous blessing. 15 million people watched it. Over 10,000 people contacted us and our ministry to let us know that they'd prayed a prayer of salvation at the end of it and asked Jesus into their heart, that they had been feeling the same doubts and frustration and fear. And that in the midst of it, the Holy Spirit tugged on their heart and they could feel Christ reaching back to them as they reached up, and it ended up being a tremendous blessing.
Yes. You know, I think of the viral stuff that we normally think of, which is, you know, maybe putting on makeup or cooking or doing crazy stunts and half killing yourself.
Yeah.
So you had no idea that what you were giving was going to touch so many hearts.
I had no idea. In fact, I made a joke during the video because on a Facebook video, you can see the number of participants that are viewing it. And so during the video, it said 14. And I knew the 14 people watching it. And so near the end, I didn't intend to do like a prayer or a call to salvation, but I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to. And so I was crying and laughing because I felt uncomfortable, and knowing that these 14 people who are watching are saved. They're people I know and people that I love. And I know that they're not saying this prayer. I'm in ministry with them, you know? And so I gave this call to salvation, and I went on about my day like any other day, and it just spread like wildfire, really. And it was such a blessing. It was such an accident. You know, yes. I had no idea. And yes. God is good that he would do it that way.
And when you look back in your childhood, and, you know, why was your bent so spiritual? Why didn't you go the other way?
Well, I grew up, I came from a broken home. My mother and my father divorced when I was very young. And so I was raised primarily by a single mom who worked very, very hard to make sure that we had everything that we needed. And so one thing that she worked hard to instill in our life was Christ, and that, you know, when life is good, God is good. And when life is bad, he's even greater, you know? And so growing up, no matter how far I went from God, my mom was always there to remind me that he was there waiting for me when I came back. And so she made sure that I was always positioned in my life to look to Christ. And so when I kind of had this moment, you know, where as an adult, I had to decide, you know, as a pastor, it's my job to reach to broken people and say, hey, let me point you to Christ. But when you yourself are broken, you know, I needed someone to point me to Christ. And so those things that she'd instilled in my heart as a young girl, you know, kind of, it gave me a place to turn that wasn't inward and selfish or outward and destructive.
The first chapter, The Hurt of the World, I cannot imagine a more appropriate chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that you had so many people respond, it resonated with them.
Yeah.
The hurt of the world. Do you feel like the world is hurting more than it ever has? Do you think there's a progression of hurt that's happening?
I do. I think, you know, when the Bible talks about all the earth groans, you know, under the weight of sin and pain, I think that as the world draws closer to the coming of Christ, the spiritual battle that is taking place will intensify all the more, which causes consequences in the physical, you know, that we have to live with. And I think that social media and ease of access into the news, into open windows into other people's lives, has given us access to viewing pain and hurt and hardship that the world has never had before. And I think that a lot of people like to put down social media, you know, like it's a bad thing. But I think that it is one of the greatest tools of God that has ever existed, because it gives us the ability to reach into that pain and say, you know, that as the world is falling apart, which it is, you know, I think what people need is they need the church to say, this is hard. Life is hard. Things are going badly. Things are going hard. They're painful. They're uncomfortable. But let us point you to hope. They don't need the church to brush it under the rug and, you know, to give them the old Christian, you know, God is good, he's sovereign, pass it over and don't deal with it. You know, the world now, especially people my age in their 20s and in their 30s, need somebody to be real and say, hey, the world is hard and it's difficult, and so we're going to address this. We're not going to push by it.
You know, I looked at your title, Fierce Hope, and I haven't shared with my listeners where they can go to your website. Can you tell me?
Yeah, they can either go to savannahhartman.com, S-A-V-A-N-N-A-H-A-R-T-M-A-N, savannahhartman.com, or fiercehopebook.com, and they can find out about the book at either one of those.
Yes, okay, because some of them actually will look at it right while we're talking.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, back in my era, it was soft as the voice of an angel, whispering hope.
Yeah.
We can't have a whispering hope any longer.
Yeah.
We need a fierce hope.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be strong.
Yeah.
It needs to be warrior-like.
Yeah.
And we need to share. So after you did this first video, then did you do another one?
I did. I did another one. And one thing that's very close to my heart and that's very important to me is that as a pastor, as a young pastor in Tampa, Tampa is what is the most liberal county in the state of Florida. So in that kind of area, to be a person that doesn't just talk about the good stuff and the happy stuff and the easy stuff, but that addresses the hard stuff. And so social justice and race relations and civil liberties. Those things are very, very important to me, especially in a season and in an age where it seems like the world wants to rob those from the Christian mm-hmm. church. And so I don't shy away from the hard topics and the difficult topics. And so around a month later, I did another spoken word on race relations, and it went viral overnight. I think to date, it's been viewed over 20 million times just on Facebook alone, not counting YouTube. And that opened me up. That was such a blessing because it gave me the ability to hold hands with people on both sides of the bridge. So people that didn't want anything to do with Christ, and then people who were deeply in love with Christ. Because for many people, they felt like, you know, for once, instead of pushing away from it, the church is standing up and saying, you know, these things are not okay. And instead of the quiet whisper of hope mm-hmm. and the patient encouragement, mm-hmm. you know, with everything that I have and with all the breath that I possess, I'm going to declare true hope that you can hold on to in the middle of brokenness.
Yeah.
And it's been just an unbelievable blessing and an honor to get to do that with my life.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. I'm talking with Savannah Hartman, and she shared with us in the first half a spoken word poem, and she's dealing with some pretty heavy issues. When we come back, we'll share that with you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Savannah Hartman and about her book, Fierce Hope. You know, we just talked about how really in this day and age with everything that's going on, the soft whispering hope, it just doesn't work. We need to have fierce hope. And you had mentioned before the break about that you were tackling some serious issues. So tell me about your take on the environment.
Okay, so the way that the book is positioned, because of those topics are so heavy and hard, I kind of walk into it with the book. So I go from hard topic to the hardest topic. And so the first one that I really address is the environment, because it's such a real concern. And even before I wrote the book, I think I was very naive to the concern of environmentalism in the world, you know? And the truth of the matter is that though we have a God who supplies every need in Christ, and the Bible says, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll wear, you know, and because Christ is the provider, God is the provider, and he's going to take care of you. We do live on a very real planet with yes. limited resources, with a lot of people that are using them up.
Yes.
And so for some people, like where I was in my life, that wasn't really a concern for me. But then I began to meet people who it was an enormous concern for, you know, that they had a real fear of scarcity, of things running out. It's where this idea of the apocalypse comes from, mm-hmm. of people needing to live in a bunker and store things underground. And you know, our hope in environmentalism is that God not only created the world, but he sustains the world. And if the promise of God in the Bible and in Christ says that he will supply every need, that he will. And not just in, you know, a way that he'll give you just enough, but he'll give you enough and then some, because he's a God of overflow and he wants us to be generous. And so he doesn't just give enough to meet our needs. He gives us enough that we can meet our needs and give some. And it may not look like that, but that's how it is, because that's the kind of God that he is.
Yes. And at the same time, I think there is some responsibility to be good stewards and
yes.
And be helpful.
Yep.
To
be
those
aware.
That don't have.
Yeah, be aware of your consumption, be aware of your use and be aware of stewarding what God has given you to make it last, you know. Selfishness eats up all excess.
Yes.
And so whenever you live in a selfless and generous mindset, there is always excess to give out of because excess is the heart of Christ, mm-hmm. more than enough.
Yes. And so in each one of the chapters, do you do a spoken word poem?
I think there's 6 or 7. There's, I believe, 11 chapters or 12 chapters, and there's 6 or 7 spoken words, and they kind of increase in severity and depth as the book goes on. I think that spoken word is really beautiful because it's a tangible, simple pattern of words that you can recall and remember. And so as the book deepens, there are spoken words to not only break up the reading, because, you know, let's be honest, especially my age, it's rare that many people will sit down and cover to cover a book. You know, it mm-hmm. takes some time to get into it. So it breaks it up. And I had the opportunity of doing an author read audiobook. So when people get the audiobook, they can listen to me personally deliver the spoken words as they were written and intended to be delivered. And so that's really cool.
With
the flow. Yeah.
Syllabication or whatever.
Yeah.
And how many have been put on YouTube?
So everyone that I've done on Facebook, so probably 5 or so have been ripped and put on YouTube so that you can listen to them that way as well. And they're still on my Facebook. You can go listen to them at any time.
And so you do it, listen live on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then it becomes a...
Yeah, I do a live video on Facebook, and I touch on everything, you know, from creation to the fall of man to simple things like one I'm working on now that I'm going to post next week. It's called Phones Aren't Friends. And so I just like to touch on popular, cultural, relevant, you know, present issues.
Do you... touch on terrorism?
I do. In fact, the book goes from environmentalism to natural disaster, slavery, genocide, terrorism, war, death. It really touches the 10 most poignant and painful topics of conversation in culture right now. And so working through them, because spoken words are something that I use to work through my issues. So they come out of that.
Yeah, and fierce hope kind of frames it all or gives you hope.
Yep.
It gives you fierce hope
yeah.
and some very serious things. Well, I don't want to give it all away, but share with us some of your thoughts on terrorism.
So terrorism was actually, it was one of the hardest chapters for me to write in the book, second only to genocide. And, because my husband and I are pastors, so we've given our life to see that people find the value and the worth that they hold in Christ. That's very important to us. And when it came to terrorism, because the way the book is positioned is that it talks about the issue, it gives the world's version of hope, and then it gives Christ's version of hope. And so to go through terrorism meant that I had to look up stories of terrorism. I had to watch news videos. I had to watch documentaries, and I had to see the value that life holds ripped out of situations. And it was very difficult because oftentimes, and I speak about it because I want to be honest on both sides of the coin. So, mm-hmm. you know, while there are radical religious groups who commit acts of terrorism in life, there have also been radical Christian groups who have committed mm-hmm. acts of terrorism. And they do them in the name of God. And as a pastor, that breaks my heart because I think that God is tired of people slapping his name and approval on their mm-hmm. bad decisions. And so I think that it was so separate from the heart of God that watching these things happen in the name of Christ was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a person, a real human, because yes. I also am a human in flesh,
yes.
Understanding how to deal with terrorism and terrorists was difficult for me because since I'm a human and I'm a mom with kids and a husband,
mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to punch him a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was hard for me to have grace there.
You and wanted the fierceness. The
yeah,
fierceness
I wanted the
came
fierceness,
out.
But not the hope part. And so God spoke to me one day while I was writing and he said, Savannah, he said, if you want to find hope in terrorism, you need to put in perspective the position of both the abused and the abuser, that and it was hard. And believe me, if you're going to read it, you're going to read it hard because it's hard to wrap your mind around. But, you know, no terrorist grew up and decide, you know, no dream as a 6-year-old was that I'm going to be a terrorist. I'm going to rob people of their lives and their hope and their future, you know, and that somewhere along the line, they experience hope and rejection that made them lost. Mm-hmm. And they are the truth of the matter is that though there is no excuse or reason for acts and behavior that a terrorist commits, they are just as valuable to Christ and they are just as lost and they need the same hope. And so we have to look at them as impossible as it is through love-filled lenses and say that when Christ hung for my sins, he hung for theirs all the same. And I have to find in my heart some way to extend grace to them the same way that grace was extended to me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm talking to Savannah Hartman. The sensation was, you know, people really resonating with her spoken word poetry. And she's written a book, Fierce Hope, where she deals with some issues that are certainly difficult to talk about. And I just pray that everyone will go to your website, fiercehopebook.com, and learn more, because we need to have a heart. We need to have God's heart, even for people that seem unsavable.
Yeah.
God does love them. Well, we're almost to the end of our show, and I wondered if you would take us out either with part of another poem or your favorite text, some words of encouragement that you can share with us.
Yeah, I will actually wrap up with the end of the poem that's in the book. And normally this is the part you have to pay for, but I feel like it's a moment that it would be poignant to share this. And so I'm going to. When things look so dark, we no longer see light, and it feels like we're living in perpetual night. Hear what I say. There is peace in the end. It's coming so quickly. It's right round the bend. Our tears don't go unseen and fall to the ground. He sees every heartbreak and grimace and frown. God gets no joy from our pain. He doesn't celebrate hurt. We're not abandoned in suffering. He is not deterred because we are his children, and he loves us so much. He longs for us all to know love's gentle touch. He doesn't shout at our weakness or mock our small frame. In fact, he loves us so much, he's called us by name. The world is corrupt. It's a sin-riddled land. But that isn't God's fault, and it wasn't his plan. The enemy can try again and again, but he cannot have us, and he will not win. So if it's a gun by a young man gone mad, if it's depression so great you'd rather die than be sad, if disease spreads the land and kills all our crops, if right on our heads an atom bomb drops, if terrorists come or the world starts to flood, we can rest easy. We were bought with his blood. All we must do is ask for his grace, for him to come in and take his rightful place as the Lord of our lives and the King of our hearts. And that very instant, his covering starts. He'll go before us and stop hell in its tracks. His hand will protect us from Satan's attacks. You might think I'm crazy and that this isn't true, but with the world how it is, what have you to lose?
Amen. What a great conclusion. Thank you so much, Savannah, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I have one last thing to say, and it is God bless.
Oh, thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.